Hello, and welcome to Healthy Bites, an all-encompassing podcast about your health from the Audrain County Health Department. Each week, we hope the information you hear on this show from a variety of experts in Audrain County, the state of Missouri, and the world will positively impact your health and your health decisions. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to give us a listen. Now, on with the show with your host, Chris Newbrough.
Thanks, and welcome to another edition of the Healthy Bites podcast here at the Audrain County Health Department. I'm your host, Chris Newbrough, and joining me this week, I have got Anna Garcia. She is a receptionist, front desk help, interpreter extraordinaire here at the health department. How are you, Anna?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, doing good. Now, I brought you in today because we wanted to start doing a little employee profiles, kind of a get-to-know-you session here at the health department. People come in and see you and see other employees. So we wanted to start talking to those employees. So, Anna, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What brought you to the health department?
So I was born in Mexico, the country, but we moved to the U.S. when I was about six. So I've been living in Mexico, Missouri just about my whole life. So this is definitely home.
Right.
So how I came to the health department, well, I was a new mom. I had my first child. This is 2016. Mm-hmm. And it was a time whenever I kind of wanted to stay home and kind of do the whole stay-at-home thing. it was going good. I was able to get help here for breastfeeding with Greta and Whitney, and they're amazing support. Like, I didn't realize that was something that we had in Mexico, Missouri. And so I was breastfeeding and started going to the meetings that they do. It's a wonderful support group for mothers. And it was really good for me because I was kind of staying home. So it was that extra support because you do get a little isolated whenever you stay home. So that was really nice. And like I said, the support for breastfeeding was amazing. I had all kinds of questions as a new mom. Mm-hmm. And so then, they kind of start asking, you know, about like what I did. And, somehow, I came in to see the then, administrator, and I didn't really even realize that it was like an interview. I thought this was kind of like a volunteer thing.
Okay.
And I was like, oh yeah, sure. You know? And then, they were like, yeah, you can bring your child in. And that's whenever it was like, wait, is this a job? Yeah, it was really funny. But it was just perfect. Like, good. I think I had been praying for an opportunity for something, and it was just perfect how it happened because they allowed me to bring my then 6 month old to work. And it's a very right. few places that you get to do that. And
right,
so
yeah.
I was extremely thankful, and it made that process easier because I knew once he was one, I would be going back to work full time somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I knew that separation would be hard on both of us, but it was just perfect how it happened.
Right, right. Yeah. And so you started here, and you started in the WIC program, correct?
I did. I started as a breastfeeding peer counselor. And then after I went full time, whenever he turned one, and I was doing more of the clerical work mm-hmm. with WIC, mm-hmm. I did love it. I love working with the families. I really, you become really like, you know, you love seeing their kids grow up mm-hmm. and you develop kind of like a relationship with the families.
Sure.
They know your kid. Well, they knew my child because right. he used to come to work. So yeah, it's nice. And, you know, to be able to speak to the other moms, mom to mom, that's always really nice.
Right. Right. Now, you, as far as, you know, WIC wasn't the only thing you did. You actually helped grow our Hispanic population coming into WIC because you're fluent in Spanish, of course, being from Mexico originally. So we were able to tap into that and explain that to people how that works.
So yeah, that was one of the things that I have really enjoyed at being with the health department was that our Spanish-speaking community kind of felt a sense of relief of coming into the health department because they knew someone was here who spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's wonderful. You know, whenever I see these families, they look very tense as they walk in. But as soon as like they see me, mm-hmm. I mean, you can see the relief automatically in their eyes.
Right. Cause they're going to be understood. They know they're going to be understood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so, I wasn't doing, I mean, I did do some of the interpreting then, mm-hmm. not as much as I'm doing it now, where, you know, we have all of our documents translated. And so, mm-hmm. But then, you know, it did help the families feel even more welcome, I think.
Sure. Yeah. And out of that growth came a Facebook page in Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. We grew that and that's really taken off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talk about that a little bit. I mean, how important is that page to connecting?
So, on the side of the page, I also run like a group, which is called What is Happening in Mexico, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And we post all kinds of stuff that are like happening around town. And so a lot of our stuff from our Spanish Facebook page also get posted on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get all kinds of posts, like school events, YMCA events, like all the things that are going on in town get
all
posted
translated
on there.
Into Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. we try our best to get most of it translated. Mm-hmm. But the ones that come from the health department are definitely translated because mm-hmm. those are the ones that have gone through me, and so they're definitely translated. And so it's really nice because you know we and then also. Our families can contact us through there. Sometimes like message us to ask about services or our hours. So mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yeah. And what's the response been in the Hispanic community? It's been pretty good, huh?
I think so. Yeah. A lot of people do feel like we are definitely trying, you know, to be just there for them.
Right.
And their needs.
And that was something I didn't realize is that, you know, working with you and saying, hey, Anna, can you translate this to and put it on our Facebook page, was that there's different dialects in Spanish as long as, you know, just as there is in English, right?
There's different what?
Dialects.
Oh,
different colloquialisms, different levels of language.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, so whenever I translate it, so sometimes, you know, I get handed some stuff, and some of these stuff sometimes take longer than others. There's stuff that are really easy to translate, and then there's stuff that I really have to do research on because I have to kind of concentrate on where our majority of our people are from and mm-hmm. the type of language that would be better understood or what is the most proper way of saying something. Sometimes, you know, we see words that might be more proper, but might be understood, might not be as well understood because depending on how a word is, you know, more used.
Right.
So yeah, there's a research that definitely goes into it. So by the time I'm done, I have like 18 tabs open.
See, I didn't realize that, you know, I just thought Spanish or Spanish, you know, and I didn't realize that there's different dialects and within that culture, even here. Mm-hmm. There's different dialects and different
accents,
colloquialisms used, accents, and mm-hmm. that can mean one thing in one, and then in another subset mean completely different.
Yeah. Very true.
Well, another thing you're doing is you're starting kind of a support group. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes,
yeah.
I'm really excited about this. I think this idea had been floating around for a very long time, and then somehow I was in conversation with Craig, and then I finally, you know, I was able to kind of tell him about this idea, and he thought it was great. But it's a support group for women that speak Spanish primarily.
Okay.
Because we don't have such a thing in Audrain County like this. So the idea is that it's called Creciendo Juntas, and it translates to Growing Together. Hmm. It's aimed to help the growth of women through open dialogue, community, and resource information. Mm-hmm. Our conversations will be focused on mental, physical, and emotional health, and we want to have different guest speakers from the community. Okay. So we'll have monthly topics. The meetings will be every third Friday at 6 here at the health department.
Oh, cool.
So I'm really excited about this. I've already been talking to several women in our community, and they're very excited. I think the thing is, as women, you know, we have challenges. Motherhood is one of them, mm-hmm. that can be very isolating, and just different things. But whenever you add the fact that a lot of these women are immigrants as well, it adds a whole new set of mm-hmm. Of challenges and
barriers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially with the language can be a huge barrier. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful, like I said, mothers, a support group for mothers that I loved attending, but if the language is a barrier, that does limit them from going.
Sure.
So
now this isn't just for Hispanic women though.
Oh no, everyone's welcome. Definitely. And I've had, several other women reach out to me, and they're like, you know, that are bilingual, and they'll ask me like, where can I go to, you know, practice my Spanish? So I think this will be great for them too, and to, you know, learn about different cultures. And that also, I come from Mexico, but mm-hmm. my culture is different from somebody that comes from Guatemala mm-hmm. or Honduras. So mm-hmm. for me, it will be, really good to learn about other women, because we have a lot of women that are moving in from other countries, not just Mexico, into the area. And then in the last few months, I've been taking this kind of like class to be a good
liaison, kind of.
Is that the word? No, I'm thinking more of a... just the person that opens the dialogue. So just to
Facilitator.
Facilitator. There you go. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. I've been learning how to be a good facilitator.
Sure.
And so just what safe dialogue looks like, because that's the main idea, is that women feel very safe, not mm-hmm. judged. And we will hit different subjects, so we will have hard conversations.
Yeah, have you got some subjects in mind already? Yeah. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, our first one would just be a very welcome, but we will be talking about reproduction health.
Okay.
I think it's a huge thing in our community, because I don't know, we have this idea. I mean, our community, our culture is very based on family. And so whenever a woman...
You're talking Hispanic culture.
Yeah. Or I'm sure. Mexican, to be Mexican. More okay. direct. But okay. I don't doubt that this is the same in the other cultures. But they're very about, you know, women having children at a certain age, usually younger. And mm-hmm. so what that stigma looks like for women that can't have children, that don't want to have children. So just, we want to have those conversations.
Sure.
You know, what, and different, like diabetes, thyroid health, all those conversations.
Well, those conversations need to be happening, because there are some diseases that are more prevalent in mm-hmm. the Hispanic and the Mexican culture than mm-hmm. there are in the Caucasian.
Yeah, very true. I mean,
true. And those are what, like heart disease is higher,
heart diseases, just because
high blood pressure.
Yeah, because of what the foods look mm-hmm, like. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our foods are very, you know, we eat a lot of tortillas, mm-hmm. a lot of rice, a lot of beans.
A lot of carbs.
A lot of carbs.
A lot of carbs, I mean. Yeah.
So we have very high rates in diabetes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we definitely want to talk about that. What does balance look like for food?
Sure.
We're not talking about getting rid of it,
right.
But what balance looks like.
I think you'd have a revolt on your hands.
Yeah. No, I don't want that. Right. I'm not practicing that right. either. No. So. Yeah. So I'm super excited.
Sure.
I think it will be very well received. Melody, our breastfeeding peer counselor here, is very excited too, because she will be helping me there, and she speaks some Spanish too, so she will mm-hmm. she will be great. And the moms that I've spoke to, like they love Melody, so they'll be very excited that she will be there.
That's Melody Kleinsorge,
yeah.
that mm-hmm. is going to be helping you with this. So it's we'll go over it once again. It's once a month.
Once a month, the third Friday.
Third Fridays.
At 6 p.m.
6 p.m. here at the health department.
The health department, yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So in your line of work, as far as translation and interpretation goes, are you finding that the barriers are breaking down for the Hispanic community here in Audrain County because you're able to facilitate for them?
I think so. I hope so, definitely. One of the things that I do definitely try to do is I try to educate the different places that will encounter situations where they will need an interpreter, and the right that someone has when it comes to language access. Mm-hmm. If any organization receives any kind of federal funded, they are required by law to provide an interpreter, and children really are not supposed to be interpreting. So I try to make sure that that is very well known.
Especially in the Hispanic culture, that I've noticed just in everyday life, I've seen, you know, children a lot of times are the interpreter for the parents.
Yeah. And it's a huge, it's a big problem, because a lot can get lost. It's in the last 2 years, I've done a lot of trainings to be a better interpreter. And even though I had been interpreting years before that, mm-hmm. I just didn't even realize the amount of things that we have to keep in mind, the ethical part. And so these are things that as children, you do not know, you do not understand.
Right. They shouldn't understand it that
age. Yeah, definitely. And then, but I think the other thing that happens too, I think it takes away something from the parents. You know, I think it gives some kind of level of power to a child. You know what I mean? It's just you think about it, parents are kind of dependent on their child, and it does create kind of an imbalance, you would say.
An imbalance of power,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I can see that. So, but especially for like medical situations, anything that has to do with law enforcement, like definitely children should mm-hmm. not be used because information could be left out. Sometimes children are scared to say what their parents are saying.
Right. And plus sometimes they don't have the grasp on what the officer or the medical officer, mm-hmm. medical person is saying to them to exactly. translate it into the language that their parents can understand.
Exactly. And to be certified, you have to go through tests that test all kinds of knowledge. And so they're not easy, mm-hmm. as I've discovered. but so I'm just like, there's absolutely no way that at 10, 12, you understand any of this, or, you know, even 18, to be honest, you know, but I understand sometimes that there are situations that, you know, if you're just asking for an application or something, obviously, but anything that goes into a deeper conversation definitely require an interpreter.
Well, we're glad you're here.
I'm thankful to be.
We enjoy having you around. We enjoy, the service that you provide, because you're actually helping us to reach a segment of the population, I think, that we have been, there's been a door there we haven't been able to reach. So with you on board, being able to talk to these residents, we're able to reach further and gain their trust and help them out further. So we thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I'm so happy to be here.
That is Anna Garcia. It's not Anna, it's Anna. I do that all the time, don't I?
Yes, you do.
It's A-N-A, Anna Garcia, and she is here at the health department, and you can see her here at the health department, what is it, Mondays and Fridays?
No, Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mondays and Tuesdays. Used to be Monday, Tuesday, and Friday.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously if someone comes in because they need an interpreter, I'm more than available to come in as well.
Right. Very good. Very good. Good to know. All right. Well, Anna, thank you so much for coming in today. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
No problem. That is Anna Garcia, and this is the Healthy Bites podcast here at the Audrain County Health Department. I'm your host, Chris Nibra. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Audrain County Health Department's Healthy Bites podcast. We hope you will join us again next week as we bring you more discussion on health matters affecting Audrain County residents and the world with your host, Chris Newbra. If you liked what you heard here, you can find out more information on our website, myachd.org. That's myachd.org. Thanks for listening. See you next week.